Now we take it to the boxing world and bring in, of course, trainer extraordinaire. I'm talking about Mr. Eddie Croft. Prime time, Eddie Croft, prime time. Can you break down Shakur Stevenson's performance for us?
Absolutely. You know what? I thought he looked very sharp and, like, skill-wise, the guy is just, he's impeccable. But, yes, he is a little adverse to risk. He definitely could have got the guy out of there and could have made Noctilia quit if he would have stepped on the gas a little bit. And he admitted himself at that, you know, in a little interview after the fight, said, hey, you know what? I tried, and I got hit a couple times and I didn't really like it. So I, you know, kind of backed off and boxed and fought smart. And was it smart? And did he have any, was he in any trouble at any point? No. What, did he stink out the joint? Yes. Unfortunately, that is the case. Now, I do feel like I'm in a little bit of a disagreement with you. I do feel like if someone, you know what, his punching power isn't the best, but if someone, you know, forced the issue and forced him to throw that third, fourth, and fifth punch, I think that he has the ability to do it. I definitely think that he would and is going to rise to the occasion if that opportunity ever comes up. So hopefully he gets to fight, you know, after he fights Herring, he fights Valdez. And I think Valdez will force the issue enough to really bring out what Shakur is made of.
But to throw those third, fourth, and fifth combination, you've got to have confidence in yourself, and you've got to have an incredible amount of intestinal fortitude, because that is when you're vulnerable, when you're in motion, no doubt about it, okay? So Shakur doesn't seem to be one of those guys that wants to put himself in any jeopardy, and if that's the case, you know, he's not going to rise to the superstar. Maybe he will. I mean, people bought Floyd Mayweather. I didn't think they would buy Floyd Mayweather. Look, I'm wrong. They bought Floyd Mayweather last week in an $80 million exhibition. At 50 years old.
Well, you know, that's one. And, you know, the whole thing with Mayweather, too, there's an event and there's other things surrounding it. It's not just the boxing. That's, you know, Mayweather had the ability to turn the fight into, you know, like the secondary thing. You know, it's more the event was, it's the Mayweather event. That was the bigger issue. So, you know, does Shakur Stevenson have that type of ability, or, you know, magnetic personality, or even, you know, polarizing personality? I mean, does he have that? I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. But let's go back to the boxing. Here's the thing, Pedro. You're saying that he's adverse to risk, and he won't, you know, rise to the occasion, or he won't throw that third, fourth, and fifth punch. The thing is, these guys can't force him to do it right now, right? A guy like Oscar Valdez, he's not going to be able to win. I'm talking about Stevenson. He won't be able to win the fight if he doesn't throw that third, fourth, and fifth punch, right? He's going to either lose the fight, or he's going to throw that punch, and I think he'll throw the punch, and I think he'll win those fights.
Fantastic. Eddie Croft, primetime Eddie Croft, B Street Boxing, San Mateo, California. You got time to stick around for one more segment?
Yeah, no problem.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Going to make for a long one, the next one. So we've got open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. The mighty horns of the Tower of Power. Yes, this time it's real. Live on Sports Byline.
It's a gentle sway, and I knew right from the start. She was the one who could calm my heart. I know someday that we could happen in a special way. I wish I may. I might make you my all-star shining bright.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
He's a guy I have nothing but respect. And, you know, we said we weren't friends after the, once we signed, and that was true. After the fight, you know, I want to go see him. I want to see him. I wish him the best. He can be a champ at 130 pounds. I think he struggled a lot to make plays, so I got nothing bad to say about him. He's a true champ. I wish him the best.
Oscar, you dominated from the first second till that knockout. What was going through your mind, round one, round two, round four, round five?
Stay focused always. He came with a good body shot. I said, wow, he is hard. Every time I hit his face, he had a strong, I felt like I was hitting a rock. We got the thing done. I listened to my father, listened to my corner, Betty Reynoso, and we got it done.
Frank, you've known him from day one, from the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
You remember you called me and you said, hey.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were there. You went.
And now, what do you say about him shocking the world tonight? Biggest upset since Mike Tyson and,
No.
Yes?
Come on, man.
Oscar, after the win, you went like, shh. What did you mean by that, for those who don't know?
I mean, people doubted me. People said that I wasn't going to. Boxing analysis, boxing experts, my idol said it. They all said I was going to get knocked out. And I stayed calm. I said, okay, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. There's nothing better in life than proving people wrong. And don't let nobody tell that to people. Don't let nobody tell you you can't do something. Because if you start listening to it, you might start believing in it. Always believe in yourself. Train hard. Be disciplined in life. And anything's possible. Call it out. Let the universe and ask God for whatever you want. And everything's going to be accomplished.
29 and zip, 23 KOs. Of course, that was a performance, an appearance by Oscar Valdez, the current world 130-pound champion, WBC belt as well, coming to us about 2 months, of course. Oscar's got a fight coming up. Will it be with Shakur Stevenson? Probably not his next fight, but 130 pounds is rocking right now with Stevenson and Oscar Valdez. Now, on the line from the B Street Boxing headquarters in San Mateo, California. In fact, you can check them out, bstreetboxing.com. Right, Eddie?
That is correct.
Okay. Of course, I'm talking about primetime Eddie Crawford. We are gifted to have him as our boxing analyst for this segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Next week, things sort of lighten up on the 19th. Of course, Teofimo Lopez, the world lightweight champion in action, taking on George Kambosos. Let's go through the fights. First of all, let's go through that. Julio Cesar Chavez and Hector Camacho Jr. Let's talk about exhibitions and older guys. You're an older guy. Would you do exhibitions?
No.
Okay. Why?
No.
Why?
One, because I'm not as famous as those other guys, so I'd probably get paid like $20 for it. And it's not worth it for me to do that.
Okay. What else?
I absolutely, am in favor of them going out and, hey man, you know, these guys can't fight anymore, so they, you know, they do these little exhibitions, and I mean, it's still fairly dangerous. They're not wearing 16-ounce gloves, but and they're not wearing headgear half the time, so there's some element of danger in it, but still, it's relatively safe, man, and you know, they're gonna make a little money that, you know, that they're not making right now, so I feel, you know, hey, man, go ahead.
Okay.
What do you think?
The world lightweight champion is undefeated, of course, come to us out of New York City, Brooklyn, New York. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. You got to give him some props, no doubt about that, taking out Vasyl Lomachenko last time. And quite an upset, a 5-1 upset in some people's minds. Bottom line is Lopez is taking on George Kambosos, an undefeated lad from Australia. Eddie, break that down. Is this a work fight for the champ, or is this a real fight?
Look, Kambosos is a solid, solid guy. I think it was Selby. I think it was fight. I mean, that fight was close, and, you know, the announcers, you know, made it sound like, you know, Kambosos was getting just washed up, and then he ended up winning the fight. And it was, you know, a big surprise on TV. But, you know, people watching the fight, you know knew that Kambosos probably had a little bit of an edge on that.
A little
bit. And do I think, well, I didn't, you know, like, I, yeah. I mean, if you want to fight them. But you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm just saying it wasn't what they announced. The fight, everybody at home was probably saying, what fight are you guys watching, you know? But,
was that a classic, lady, hate to interrupt you, but was that a classic example of English shilling?
You know what? You would have to, like, I guess so. You know what I mean? It's really difficult, for just the person that has never, sparred or, you know, like, you know, it really don't have any boxing background to really kind of piece together what is happening. If they're listening to the announcer, like, the announcers can really, really bias your view if you don't know what you're looking at.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Also on the night, WBC middleweight champion Jermell Charlo is taking on another challenger, and Juan Macias Montiel, of course, both these guys got pretty good records. I'm not a big fan of the Charlo brothers. I'm a fan of their mother. I think their mother's quite a character. I think she could be like Louise Fletcher or whoever Frank Fletcher's mother was. I mean, she was pretty wild ringside, colorful ringside. But the Charlo brothers seem to be, they're staying in the same spot. They don't seem to be wanting to attain greatness. They seem to be wanting to be okay, and that's enough for them. Am I pushing them too far? Am I wrong? Talk to me.
You know what? Like, the boxing politics and, you know, the landscape of that is so odd these days. I don't really know what to think. I see them improving, and they get better with each fight. You hear conflicting, like, things from them. Yeah, I want to fight Canelo. You know what? The Canelo fight will come, you know, when they, you know, yeah, I don't, or they'll say, yeah, we're going to fight Canelo. I'll knock Canelo out. Or they turn around and say, I don't need Canelo for my legacy and this and that, right? So, like, you hear a lot of conflicting stuff. But I can't say that they're not, you know, I wouldn't say that they're not, like, shooting for greatness. I think that they have the, you know, really the potential for some very compelling fights in the not too distant future, in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Deontay Wilder is going to rock again with Tyson Fury the third time. Of course, going to go at the T-Mobile Arena in July in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. I mean, outside of the one punch knock, outside of being a one trick pony, what can Deontay Wilder, I mean, there are so many. What could you do to improve Deontay Wilder? What could Eddie Croft, the trainer, do to improve Deontay Wilder?
Well, you know what? Like, the biggest thing is just, for me, I would just make him throw just straight punches and concentrate on footwork and distance. And that's it. So just, you know, because that, you can't really change him. In the amount of time that you got, and, you know, you just got to improve on what he has, right? And then, like, slowly after he gets, if he wins the Tyson Fury fight, or even after he loses, if he continues to fight, you know, then you can start, you know, trying to tinker with this stuff, you know. But, like, right now, the fight's July 24th, man. You ain't got time to change that, nothing. Unless he's been working for the past year on changing stuff. You know, I don't know. You know,
Eddie, the guy doesn't like to do, he doesn't like to do bag. Mark Breland told me he doesn't like to do bag work. He's not a big guy on jumper rope. In other words, he's in there going to the street fighting thing. I mean, just going in there and trying to throw that right hand.
Yeah, well, you know, that was before, and now that he's lost, it looks like he's, you know, they show little clips on social media that he's, you know, working on footwork and punching technique, and who knows, but, like, I'm really interested to see it, because, look, you know, you've been watching boxing a long time, Pedro, and so have I, but I have not seen somebody with a singular weapon like that in a long, long time.
Good point, good point. Good, hell of a point.
Right? So you know, that at any moment, if it lands, it could end it. So, like, you know, he's always dangerous no matter what. And so the thing is, like I was saying, the only thing you can do, you know, in the short amount of time you have, is to get him to understand distance and, you know, kind of move and try to maintain that distance and when to fire that right hand, right? And when he throws it, just to throw it straight. Stop all that looping stuff. You don't need that.
Okay.
Right? Just throw it straight. And you know, you might be able to, because, like, the body mechanics are similar. It's just the arm angle is different. You might be able to teach him how to throw, like, a nice short uppercut with the right hand. Because, you know, like, you can sneak that in. You get the guy looking for the right hand, you know, straight coming at you. And then all of a sudden, with the same mechanics, you sneak it underneath. And it comes under and hits you from, you know, from underneath on the chin. Okay. And, if he could learn that, yeah, dude, he could just end Tyson in with one punch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is definitely an intriguing fight.
It's a big if, and I think he's an old dog that doesn't want to learn new tricks. Now, next week, Naoya Inoue, Japan star, of course, 20 and zip, 17 KOs, had a broken orbital bone a few fights back with Nonito Donaire, of course, who shined last week at 118, winning the WBC title. Anyway, this guy is a monster. That's what they call him, the monster. Can this guy, Miguel Desamarinas, who's 30-2, is he a formidable challenger? I mean, can anybody really challenge this guy? Is he that superior at that weight class?
You know what? 118 is probably not Inoue's best weight class. I think 115 was better for him. You know, like if you looked at the fight with Donaire, I mean, Donaire, you know, hurt him. And, yes, he broke his orbital bone. Now, if that was Donaire 10 years ago, I think Donaire beats him, right? And look at what he did the other night, or last week, man. That is incredible. That, you know, that dude is a legend, you know, and man, so, you know, for Inoue to, you know, be able to get through that and win the fight, yeah, I mean, the guy is awesome. Now, it's Desmarinas. The one thing about Filipino fighters is, you know, that they're tough and they're going to take, you know, they're coming, you know. A lot of times they're kind of challenged defensively, because their game is really based on power. So, you know, I think that Inoue kind of will be able to pick him apart and stop him, like, midway through the fight, you know, kind of hit him with a laser right hand and end it. So
this is the genius behind B Street Boxing, folks. Whether you're a square, I'm talking about a blue-collar or white-collar boxing, or you're an accomplished professional or an amateur, check out B Street Boxing, Eddie Croft in San Mateo, California. Eddie, say hello to the family. I love you. Thank you so much for your time, man.
All right, baby. Don't stop you.
The one, Primetime Eddie Croft on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.